Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
We are looking at the will of God for our lives in its simplicity, in the simplicity of what is revealed in His Word, which is not hard for the believer to accept if his heart is right. Actually, I like to say it like this: if there's not sin in their life. Sin's in your life, it makes it very difficult for you to obey God. There's a resistance in you. But here's the thing: God lays it out very plainly in His Word, and you've got to realize that when you got born again, you didn't find God, He found you. He'd been pursuing you for a long time. He'd been coming after you for a long time. Someone prayed for you, whether they knew you or not. Some prayer and intercession service somewhere, your name was lifted up. Amen? And God found you, saved you, and rescued you out of a life of hell on the earth. Isn't that good? Now, why would it be a stretch to think that He wouldn't have a plan? He does have a plan. I mean, He doesn't save you just to leave you like a fish pulled out of the water flopping in the boat. He's got a plan for your life. Just because you've been caught does not exempt you from being cleaned and used. Look at Luke chapter 11 real quick, and then we're going to go all the way to the book of Judges. Luke chapter 11. Now, before I read the scripture, let me say this. This plan that God has for you in the Word reveals it very plainly. Any minister in their right mind would include much of it in their teaching and preaching. But God, once you're born again, there's a commandment that you must obey. It's over in Acts chapter 1, and that's the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Then the next thing that God wants for you is He wants you to join a local New Testament church and to sit under the ministry of a pastor, a true pastor. Can I get a better amen than that? Not only that, God wants you to read His holy word. Not only that, God wants you to pray. He wants you to talk. He wants you to communicate. He wants you to dialogue. He does not want there to be a monologue coming up from the earth, but He wants there to be a dialogue between you and heaven. Come on, I ought to get a better amen than that. Not only that, once you start getting into these other things of obedience, they begin to open up. God wants you to tithe, offer, and support missions. And to be benevolent toward people who are poor. Amen. You say, who is that? Everybody else except the people in this building right now. You're all rich. I said, you're all rich. And if you ain't got rich yet, then go study the Bible. You see that rich is something you are, not something you have. See, that's the problem with the world. Rich is something they have. So when they lose it, they're not rich anymore. Us, it doesn't matter how much money you have. God calls you rich. I ought to get a better amen than that. Amen? He expects you to tithe, offer. Actually, let me say it like this. He expects you to be involved in seed time and harvest financially, seed time and harvest in your relationships, seed time and harvest in what you're believing God for, and seed time and harvest to produce the fullness of His covenant in your life. You say, what do you mean by that? Plant some healing and grow you a healing tree. Plant some prosperity and grow you a money tree. You say money don't grow on trees. Yes, it does. It grows on the tree of faith that Jesus talked about that the mustard seed goes into the ground and produces. Come on, church. Amen. Tithe, offer, be blessed. Be a blessing. Be full of joy. Be happy no matter what your circumstance. See, God has a plan. Then you get all that going, and then He starts coming to you with the individual plan for your life. Something that He wants you to do. Listen, everything I try to do in my life for the past 40 years, I've tried to do it in the will of God. Now, it's easy to get up here and talk about, yeah, you want to make sure you go on a missions trip in the will of God. You want to make sure you hold this crusade in the will of God. Yeah, you want to make sure you hold this conference. But everything, every hunting trip, we make sure it's God. Everything we do, if we go on a vacation, we make sure it's God and we ask God where we should go. Come on, church. Everything we do, we bounce it off the mind of our Heavenly Father to make sure it lines up with His thoughts toward us. Boy, you should see some of the places He's taken us. Oh my goodness. the will of God. Sure, standing in front of crowds, preaching the gospel, seeing the beauty of the Holy Ghost move in the altars, people touched by God, saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered. That's so awesome. But all the other things that are just you personally, the little things that God does for you that are so cool that you know that's God, that's God. God did that. And it just blows you away to know that every little part of your life He cares about. Amen? How many have lost your keys? Or your billfold? Or something else? And prayed, and God showed you where it was, and you were kind of like one guy I knew, he would drive around and pray for parking lots, parking places, and then he'd see when he'd go, never mind, God, there's one over there. Well, that's that. Never mind, we won't get into that. Did you find Luke 11? Let's go there before we get in trouble. Verse 1, Luke 11, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now notice this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now notice that very carefully. Now this is the Lord Jesus. These are red letters in my Bible. First of all, he says, come to the Father with adoration and worship. Hallowed be thy name. That's a holy word. That's a word of submission. That's a word of looking at the one that you're looking at and saying, you are holy, you are righteous, you are God, you're almighty, you're omnipotent, you're omnipresent. Amen? Hallowed be thy name. Now, the second part, thy kingdom come. Now, we don't pray that anymore. Got quiet in here. We don't pray that anymore. You say, why not? His kingdom came when Jesus walked out of the grave. When he walked out of the grave, the kingdom came to the earth. Before Jesus walked out of the grave and the kingdom came to the earth, the only thing God had on the earth was Israel, his servants, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But honey, when he walked out of the tomb, all of a sudden, any whosoever will on the planet, not in just one little sliver of land, but whosoever will on the planet, whosoever will on the planet, whosoever will in Botswana, Africa, whosoever will in Mexico, whosoever will in Tanzania or Ireland, whosoever will anywhere in the world, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be much more than grafted into a nation. You shall be born again. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom came. The proof is you're born again. But now notice the next phrase. Thy will be done. Now, you could take off from there and go many different directions about the will of God being done on the earth. Yes, there is the sovereign will of God that God does outside the faith of the church and outside the faith of God's people. Just like, remember Jesus, when he was born, the Bible says, in the fullness of time. God had that planned out to the day, to the moment. Look how he orchestrated everything from the wise men, everything from the two prophets that lived a long life praying him into the earth. Everything from the wise men making a trip and financing his life and ministry for his entire life, everything fell right into place by the Word of God. What makes you think he can't do that for you? What makes you think if you will serve him, if you will obey him, if you'll do everything you can do to get the sin out of your life, if you do everything you can do to walk in righteousness and holiness, God will make sure that you're on that path of righteousness for his name's sake. Going right down that path. Sure, it doesn't mean there won't be a stumble or a trip. Doesn't mean it won't go uphill for a while. Well, it doesn't mean it won't be rocky when you come down the other side. But I got good news. If you will stay on it long enough. You know, I've never known them. I'm 68. I'll be 68 at the end of this month. I have never known in my life. Now, I've lived here as long as I can remember. We moved here when I was 4 from Austin. I cannot remember a time in which the Gulf Freeway was not under construction between here and Gulf Gate, Alameda Road. Amen? And what's really cool is when they've worked on an area that you have been so frustrated with because you've either had to drive next to that stinking wall or next to this stinking wall, and they shorten them lanes, and everybody's going fast, and it's just then all of a sudden, boom, you punch out into this 6-lane highway with shoulders on each side, and you're kind of like, whoa, We can go anywhere on this. It's pretty nice. Well, it's the same way serving God. You may be under construction for a while. Amen? You may be under construction for a while, but one of these days, you're going to come around a corner and you're going to go, oh my God, look at this. Looks like miles of smooth sailing. Glory to God. Go to Judges. Let's let God illustrate this for us. Judges chapter 6 is the story of a man named Gideon. He struggled a little bit with the will of God, but you know, he got it right. Let's just begin. Chapter 6 of the book of Judges. We don't teach a whole lot out of Judges, but it is a good book. Amen? It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. Now, remember, all of the verbiage of God in the Old Covenant is permissive verbiage. It doesn't mean that God gathered up the Midianites and strengthened them and threw them. No. It means that Israel sinned, and God stepped back. And when you sin, God steps back. Honey, that opens a door right there. I said, that opens a door right there. And that's exactly what Israel did. And the hand of Midian prevailed, verse 2, against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. So Midian and the Amalekites were being used by the devil to destroy seed time and harvest for Israel. It says when they'd sown. See, they had no interest in their land when it wasn't sown. But they knew, hey man, there's corn over there, there's wheat over there, there's rice over there. Look at all those beautiful orchards, all the beautiful trees. Look at all that. It's time to go in and take Israel. And that's what they were doing. Everything they sowed got stolen by the Midianites. Everything they sowed. All the crops that came up. Notice this. And it was so when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till you come unto Gaza. I wonder why there's problems in Gaza. Come on, church. And left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. Now let me tell you something real quick. Do not devalue the value of your cry to God. You say, what do you mean? You get yourself in trouble, you get yourself into sin, you need to cry out to God. You get yourself in a backslidden condition. I don't know why I'm saying this. You get yourself in a backslidden condition. You get yourself in a way, man, I'm just away from God. I know I am. You need to cry out to God. If you'll cry out to God, God will get moving on your behalf. And the first thing he'll do is send you a man of God to help get you out of that problem. Amen? Now notice. Let me find it here. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you out from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. Did you get that? Gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord God. Now notice this, fear not. So the first thing God had to do through his prophet was to deal with fear. Amen? Now, God's purpose in this story of Gideon is to find someone that will obey God, get into the will of God, and deliver his nation so he can continue the process of bringing Messiah to the earth. He needs a deliverer. He needs somebody who will rise up. So he sends a prophet, and this prophet begins to speak the word of God. Everybody say the word of God. and there came an angel of the Lord. Now notice that phrase, angel of the Lord. Now anytime you see that, two different terminology. Angel of the Lord, captain of the host of the Lord. That's the pre-incarnate Christ. That's Jesus. I tell you, Jesus is involved in the earth. I said, He's involved in the earth. Now notice what it says. It says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is at Ophrah, which pertained unto Joash the Abizurite, and his son Gideon. Everybody say Gideon. And his son Gideon, now notice this, his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. This gives you an indication of why God chose Gideon. You say, why? It did not matter that the Midianites were strewn across the land like grasshoppers. It did not matter that they were destroying everything that Israel had sowed. One guy sowed a seed, reaped a harvest, and now he's doing what? He's receiving his harvest through thrashing. That's what they do, thrash it to knock the grain out and get the chaff out. Amen? He is thrashing his wheat, his harvest. There's a man that got a harvest when you couldn't get a harvest. I said there was a man that got a harvest when you couldn't get a harvest. He had to hide it, but he got a harvest. He had to hide it, but he hid it when he sowed it. He hid it when he growed it. He hid it when he reaped it. And he hid it when he hid it when he was threshing it. But it was his harvest. Midian didn't get it. That must have impressed God. He sent that angel of the Lord. Now notice this. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's how God sees us. God always addresses us, not in our current condition. He addresses us according to His own revelation of who we are. Say, if He was going to speak to you and appear to you, He would say something like, hey, you new creature in Christ, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, the righteousness of God in Christ. That's how He sees you. More than a conqueror, that's how He sees you. How do you see yourself? Now notice, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon rose up, had a praise service, cried out to God, said, I was just waiting for you to speak to me so I could obey you. He's just like the rest of us. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Let's answer that. Can we answer that? Sin. Just thought I'd throw that in. Why has this befallen us? And where be all His miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midian. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Let me say something, church. Quit trying to exempt yourself from the blessings of God by calling yourself something other than what God calls you. Well, Pastor, you know, I know you say all that stuff about, you know, confessing and being a new creature and being an overcomer, but you know, my life is just so tore up. Well, I wonder why. It's because you've not been confessing those scriptures. It's because you've not been declaring that over your life. Jesus said, by your words you're justified, but by your words you're also what? Condemned. I'll do it. How's my time? Okay, I can do that. There are two voices in the spirit realm other than yours speaking on your behalf. One of them is a negative voice called the accuser of the brethren. And he makes sure that your mind can sense and pick up every negative thought that he's trying to accuse you before the Father with. Then there's the voice of the Word, the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. There's the voice of Jesus, which does what? Always lifts, always edifies, always increases, always amplifies the ability of God and His children on the earth. It never puts you down. It never causes harm or hurt. It only helps. It only helps. All He, you know, does this sound familiar to any of you guys? Remember when we teach on Mary? How should this be? Seeing I'm not a man. She cast in her mind. What manner of salutation? See how the human family responds to God. See how God responds to the human family. God looks down on the human family through the veil of the redemptive work of Christ. He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the unrighteousness. He doesn't see the perversion. But I'm going to tell you something. Judgment is building against it. And it has been for 2,000 years. But what you must realize, what God sees is you. The person that said yes to Jesus. The person that got born again. He sees you as an overcomer. He sees you as blessed. He sees you as healed. Let me tell you, He sees you as, say, I don't see myself as healed. Then work on it. Get in the Scriptures. Begin to confess. Begin to see yourself as healed. Begin to see yourself as, you say, Pastor, that sounds like a lot of just psychology. Psychology? My goodness, your brain is a mess. Like one preacher said, it's like cement, thoroughly mixed, permanently set. Amen. No, this isn't mind over matter. This isn't Christian Science. Christian Science is a fallacy. Christian Science is for fools. Come on, it's a doctrine of devils. Amen. But not the Word of God. Not the Word of God. He had to realize, somebody seeing something a little different around here than I'm seeing. Do you know that's a great revelation for your life? When you got this book under your arm and you're walking out the church, you're going to pick it up to read it tomorrow, you got to make the decision. Somebody sees things a little different than I do. Somebody understands a little bit more than I do. Somebody knows a little bit more than I do. Not a little bit, but a whole lot more. And somebody knows how to get me from where I am to where I need to be. Amen? Now notice here. Where shall I save Israel? This is verse 14. My family is poor in Manasseh. I'm the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Then God had to go through a whole bunch of stuff supernaturally to convince him. You can read that verse 17 all through 22. We'll pick it up at verse 22. This is, and when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, after he did all these miracles, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. You know what he said? He said, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face, now I'm going to die. Listen, just like people that get saved and get a little bit of teaching, and then the devil begins to tell them, you can't do that. You can't live like that. Well, you're an old drug addict. Well, you're an old alcoholic. Well, you're an old pervert. You can't live like that. Look what's in your mind. Look what's in your emotions. Look what's in, and he'll talk to you like that. And he'll talk to you. You need to tell the devil to shut up. Because he will talk you out of the blessings of God if you let him. But if you will take your authority, you will make sure that he is under your feet and that the blessings of God can flow in your life. Let me get back to it here. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Had to deal with it again. Amen. And then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day is it yet in Ophrah. An altar built Jehovah Shalom. You know the word Shalom. That's that universal word that the Jewish people use. It's kind of like Aloha in the Hawaiian language. Did you know the Jewish language and the Hawaiian language are the only two languages on the earth that do not have cuss words? I find that very interesting, don't you? But it's true, you can look it up. Anyway, he builds this altar. Now listen, in building this altar, the problem gets revealed. I'm not going to go teach through it. The problem gets, look, it's these stinking altars we got and this stinking Baal worship we're doing, the sin that we've got into. This is the reason for that, and Gideon goes and tears it all down. He says, we're going to have a revival. I'm tearing all this stuff down. And what did the people do? They wanted to kill him. Amen? They wanted to kill him. Now, let's pick it up. Pick it up. Verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son. This is Gideon's father. Bring out thy son that he may die. Because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that it was by. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst there is yet mourning. If he be God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. You know what he's saying? He said, yeah, I cut down your groves. I turned over your altars. Your God's so big, let him do something about it. Everybody say boldness. See, he was getting closer and closer and closer. God was drawing him closer and closer to this victory, because the victory he's going to have to produce is going to be absolutely supernatural. It's not a natural victory. Can I get a better amen than that? Now, my time's up. My time's up. Let's wrap it up. So, we know the story of the fleece. Now, see, this is the next thing that happens after Gideon settles this thing with his family and his cohorts about tearing down the altars of Baal, and they figure out, well, Baal ain't going to do nothing for this guy. We better follow him. So then he still is not convinced. He's still having a hard time with the will of God. So he gives God a test. It's called the fleece. And many people call it putting out a fleece. I actually saw a guy that wrote a book called Putting Out a Fleece. Let me help you. Never, ever, 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 ever put out a fleece. You say Gideon did. He did it under another covenant based on lesser promises. And the deal was, I'm going to put this skin out here, and if it's all wet in the morning, then you did it. But I'm going to do it the next day, and if it's all dry, then I'll obey. Don't ever do that to God. You'll get yourself in trouble, the devil will oblige you, and you'll find yourself going down the wrong road. Amen? But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. He got Gideon through that, and finally, Gideon set out the war. And what happened? 30,000 mighty men of Israel showed up to fight. Amen. Boy, I bet he was going, glory to God. Look at all those swords. Look at all those. Man, I tell you, now we got a fighting chance. And God said, wait a minute. Remember what we're talking about? The will of God. Now, let me tell you something. If you're willing to walk the path of righteousness, you better be willing for some abstract things to happen in your life. Off the chart of normal. So God says, you know, you got too many men. So here's what you do. Have a camp meeting. And get up and tell everybody that's fearful to go home. So he get up and said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let all those that are fearful be dismissed. Half a dozen? 20,000. 20,000 got up and left. Because they were afraid. Well, we still got 10,000. That's a pretty good church, isn't it, Jerry? Anywhere in the world. We still got 10,000. And God said, that's too many. I bet Gideon was freaking out. That's too many? Bring them down to the book. Now see, the first 30,000, Gideon tried them through the word of God. The second 10,000, God said, bring them to the brook and I will try them there. And he said this, watch how they drink. See, that's an important principle. Watch how they drink. Many of them just ran down to the brook, fell in the brook, started drinking. Others knelt by the brook, scooped up water in their hand and lapped it like a dog. And God said, those are my men. But God, there ain't but 300 of them. Those are my men. You know why? Their posture in drinking water said something about their character. Others were drinking just for themselves. I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. But those 300 scooped up the water and were watching as they drink. It wasn't just about their thirst or their hunger. It wasn't just about their need. It was about the assignment. And we know the miracle that God did. The pitchers and the trumpets, only 300 men. And they broke those pitchers and those, and it was such, the Spirit of God came on that thing, and all of those evil, they destroyed themselves. Till there were none left. And they picked up the spoil of all of that. And what could have been one of the most terrible times in Israel, God sent a deliverer. But that deliverer had to fall into the will of God. He had to find out how God saw him. He had to operate in obedience. He had to get the sin out of his own life and the sin out of the camp that he was a part of. And he had to obey God to the letter. Yes. To the letter. And what did God do? His part. He delivered Israel. Performed that was necessary to bring their deliverance. And caused the people of God to flourish again until the next time they sin. But listen, we don't have to be like that. In your life, listen. These quests that God gives you. It may be a quest for you to overcome the doubt and the fear to tithe. I mean, I never take offense at people that don't tithe and offer. I know that you do it because you don't believe it. And you will not do it till you do. So what do you do? What do you need? You need the Word. You need the Spirit. You need faith to come into you. It may be a healing that you're trying to receive from, especially because I pray all the time over people that suffer with diabetes and you know, these things where they kind of tell you got a life disease, where you're just going to have to treat this your whole. Well, I don't believe you. I don't believe that's right. I believe Jesus is a healer, whether you're 6 months old or whether you're 90 years old. Doesn't matter. He's still the healer. Amen. It may be something else, some other issue that you need a breakthrough with a job or but whatever it is, God wants you in that process of walking down your personal path of righteousness for His name's sake. As you do that, you will find all the... Remember David? What was on his path? A giant sword when he needed it. Yes. Mighty men when he needed them. Come on, church. Favor when he needed it. Bless him. He stayed on the... And then when he gets to Psalms 23, he writes it like this. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For my own comfort? For His name's sake. God is leading you in a particular will for your life so that He can be glorified in your life. So that when people see you, they have to say, that's God in that person. I used to know that person. I used to run around with that person. I used to party with that person. I used to be around. Listen, God wants you in His will, so encompassed in His will that everyone that sees you, everyone that touches your life, and every life you touch, they know that God has touched them. That's what God wants. It was a struggle for Gideon. Look at what we have that he didn't. We have the Word in a written form. We have a completed volume of Scripture right here. We not only have the old covenant, we have the new covenant. Come on, church. Not only that, he didn't have the Spirit of God abiding on the inside of him. All he had was an anointing that could come on him, and it came on and lifted as God willed. We can use the authority of the name of Jesus anytime. Anytime. We can pray in the Holy Ghost anytime. And the Bible says for those that pray in the Holy Ghost, all things are going to work together for your good. Come on, church. So really, listen, we really don't have an excuse to sit around and question, why isn't this working for me? Come on, church. We really don't have an excuse to sit around. You know, he gets up there, he talks about all that stuff working for him, going off and hunting, and God does all these things, and he goes, but I can't, you know, I don't see that, and I don't know, I should not. Listen, it works by your own will. You will to do the will of God. You will to want to do the will of God. You will Him more than you will yourself. That is the deliverance from the self-life and the self-will. The ambition and the ego of men and women destroys their lives, drives them. But the gentle call of God, it just brings them down. I mean, me and Jerry Lackey, we went to the same Bible school a year apart. That's been over 40 years ago, Jerry. Over 40 years ago. God put Jerry on a path. He didn't put me on that path. He didn't call me to Botswana. He called me to do something else. But he called me to help Jerry. That was part of the path of righteousness for me. My, part of the blessing of our life has been because we've been with them for 40 years. You got to understand, God puts all this stuff together. He's the consummate family man. Let me try that again. He's the consummate family. You say, Pastor, my dad's so disappointed me, my mom's so bad. But God will never disappoint you. That's why He wants to be your heavenly Father all the days of your life. Praise God. Don't you love Him? I said, don't you love Him? Lift your hands up and thank Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The exponential curve of time has come back around where it used to take men a lifetime to believe God. Now people can do it because of technology, but also because the days are short. The days are short and time is being compressed. It's not going to take you near. You say, I've got a dream. Follow it. God's put something in my heart. Go after it. You say, if not, then go after what God has for you here in the church. And that way you'll find that individual career path, job path, relationship path, whatever you need, God will have it for you. And that's what you want. You want His path. Because there ain't no other path out there that's going to work for you. Amen? Praise God. You ready to give? Hold up your offerings. Say, Heavenly Father, You said in 2 Corinthians 9, my giving could cause all grace to abound toward me. Lord, I want grace for the will of God for my life. We've heard from Pastor Jerry. We've heard from Pastor Rusty. Now, Lord, we want to hear from heaven. I want You to speak into my heart the specifics of my path of righteousness. I will do my best to obey every precept, every principle of Your word, fully expecting Your Spirit to impress upon me direction, to bring people into my life, to bring relationships that I can enhance, that can enhance me. Let me partner with You, Lord, in these last days so that I can see Your glory and experience Your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Now stand on your feet if you will. Praise God. Before we do that, let's do this real quick. Everybody bow your heads. Close your eyes real quick. Everybody right with God this morning. If you're not living right, doing right, if you're living like a heathen, you need to get saved. If you've been saved and you're backslid, you need to get right with God. Plain enough? Anybody like that? While every head's bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I need to be right with God. Lift your hand up. Anyone at all? One hand right there. Anyone else? Another hand. God bless you. Another hand. God bless you. Three people. Anyone else? Now, real quick, out loud, everybody. Heavenly Father, right now, openly and publicly, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank You, Father, that the blood of Jesus cleanses me, that You, Jesus, forgive me, and that I am restored to that which I need to be restored to. Thank You, Lord, for Your will in my life. Your will in my life. I ask You, let me know Your will. Thy will be done. And no one else's. Lord, as I stand today in Island Church, thank You, Father. I'm born again. Jesus is my Lord. Heaven is my home. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God. Now let me pray and dismiss. Father, thank You so much for today. Your wonderful blessing upon the church. We bless Jerry and Jana, call them blessed, and we agree with their faith. For everything they're stepping into, Lord, You want to get more money to them? Get more money to us. We'll give it to them. Lord, You want to help them in a greater way? Help us and we'll help them. And Father, we thank You for the blessing they've been to Island Church all these years, providing us with an awesome place to place our finances to see the will of God done in the earth. Lord, as we leave today, we thank You for protection and safety. No evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us. We even stand against the diseases and sicknesses that are unique to this cold weather and say no to the devil and all his attacks. Lord, we thank You also for evangelism in our hearts. As we leave today, let us forever be sensitive to the reality of those around us that do not know You, that need Jesus, that we may be that last piece of the puzzle that You use to capture their soul and see their spirit revived. Thank You, Father, as we leave today, we walk in faith and love towards You. We walk in love toward one another. Thank You for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ You've called us to be. Thanking You, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, powered by the word, anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.